Okay, good evening, everyone. I am indeed very grateful to my wife for reading that passage. Some of you might suspect you of doing it intentionally. It was no intention. I was pondering on the book of Daniel for a little while. Actually, from about February this year, for some reason, I was doing my Bible reading, and I've come across the book of Daniel, and I started reading it, and I came back to it in the last few months for different reasons. When Pastor John has asked me if I could preach tonight, and in a series on a thematic of working together, and I've heard Richard's message last Sunday when he presented how Paul has, in a way or another, related to different people in his life, and they worked together for the kingdom of God. I thought that this is a good passage, maybe not Daniel as much as a person who invests in others as partners in enlarging the kingdom of God, but more as Daniel and his friends and God partnering together to keep the kingdom of God in attention of the world and or to us, really, so many thousands of years later. So my message tonight is entitled Serving the Lord, the Real King. One of the verses in this chapter 1, says that they were entering in the king's service. And reality is, as Christians, on the day when we said, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you, we have already entered the king's service. We like it or not, we are in his service. And depends on each one of us. How do we want to be in that service? We can be those who stay back and wait for others to serve them, or we want to come forward and say, Lord, this is what you gave me. I'm ready to put my talent in your service. We're going to look at three things tonight. And the first one is change, choice, and the second is choice, and the third one is challenge. So we are in a time of change. We are talking about change for a couple of years now, and we'll look at the things that God is doing among us and in our life. And reality is, we like it or not, we are continuously in a change. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not the same I was 3 years ago when I came to Worthing and started working in Koinonia. Janet, I had the privilege to meet Janet there on the, I think, 15th of April 2016, and she interviewed me with another resident in Koinonia, and that was my first contact with Lansing Tab without even knowing. But you see, God works in miraculous ways, and the change for Daniel and his friends wasn't one of the pleasant changes that people experience. For me, coming around here, it was a pleasant experience. I've met faithful people, dedicated people. Even at the end of their life, they were ready to serve the Lord with all their hearts and with all that God has given them. Well, Daniel and his friends were in a different situation. I just want to ask you to do an exercise of imagination. Maybe this will make you laugh a little bit. If you remember how when you were about 12 or 13 years old, do you remember when you were 12 or 13 years old? Okay, all right. If I'll be my mom, she'll say, oh yes, I remember that stinky teenager. This is what she would say. I don't know about your mom, maybe you were more better than me, but yeah. 12 or 13 years old, that is the age of Daniel and his friends, where we're taken prisoners from Jerusalem in Babylon. Now imagine that you are riding your bike to school on that Sunday, on that Monday morning, and as you approach and you pass by the temple to go to your school, where your rabbi is waiting for you to teach you the next lesson from the Torah, you just hear this blasting of trumpets and running soldiers all around you who are going towards the city gates and the walls. And you hear this terrible bang of the gates falling and closing down Jerusalem. And you just hear a whisper of people saying, they are here. And that is what Daniel and his friends, 12 or 13 years old, experienced when the Babylonians came to take over Jerusalem. And they did. Just going a little bit fast forward, just imagine that you are with your other three friends on a caravan going through the desert a few hundred miles from, 1,000 miles from Jerusalem towards Babylon. And it's hot, and the sun is blasting in your face. And from afar, you can just see the tall gates and walls of Babylon. And you can hear the shouts of joy of the soldiers who bring their offering to their god, Baal. They bring the children of God to Babylon. Not a pleasant change for them. And then if you go a little bit further, you can imagine that you are among them when they go to the king's palace, and the order and the command came, and they said, well, among those hostages, we need to find a few who will be able to serve the king. And they get to be fed the food from the king's table. Who will not be honored by that? They are getting to be dressed with the king's clothes. But more than that, they are going to change their names, because you see, when you take God's people from their country, and when they are soaked in God's word, even their names mean something. So Daniel means God is my judge. And what they do, they change that to Belshazzar, which means Baal's prince. Baal was their god. Hananiah, it means the grace of the Lord. And they change it to Shadrach, which means inspiration from God the sun god. Mishael, that means he that is strong in God. And they change it to Meshach, which it means the goddess from Shach. Or Azariah, that means the Lord is my help. They change it to Abed-Menigo, which means the servant of the shining fire. You see, when someone wants to brainwash someone, they will do it totally. And this is what they've done in Babylon. Brainwashing in the communist countries is nothing new. They used this thousands of years before. When we were kids in school, we were taught there is no God. We were told that we come from somewhere, and our father is not our father, and mother is not our mother, that Ceausescu and his wife, our parents, are. This is what they're trying to wash our brains with. You see, Babylonians try to do the same for them, to transform them and make them people that will obey and say yes to anything that they do, what they want them to do. Change is not easy. Change is difficult. Change is painful. We either embrace it or oppose it. We face it or we run away. Reality is, God was on the move in his people, Israel, but they did not want to move with God. They wanted to stay with their own gods, to worship their shrines, and sacrifice their sons and daughters to the foreign gods of the people that now came and conquered them. God was on the move and wanted to take his people with him, but they said, no, we're going to stay where we are. We like it here. It's comfortable here. The reality is, it can happen the same with us as Christians. When God is on the move and we decide, oh, we want to stay in a comfortable place, and then change happens, even if we like it or not. And change can surprise us. And change can sometimes destroy us. God wants to fulfill his plans, and he has his plans set in his mind. And when God wants to change something in his people's life, he will do it in an easy way, or on the long run, he will still do it. Because he loves his people so much. You see, change affects the learned and the less learned. The change affects the noble and the poor. Change affects the fool and the wise. Change is hard, is painful. But at the end of the day, change that God brings fulfills his purposes. He wants his people to be close to him. In Romans 8:28, we know this verse very well, and I remembered this every time God has brought a change in my life that I wasn't very comfortable with. For we know that all things work together for the better good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You see, there is one little word there. They are good for those who love God. If we love God, even if we don't like change, and even if it's painful and kind of against our own will, God still has a purpose and he has called us according to his will. So serving the king, yes, there were four of them serving the king, even if they had to be going, they had to go from their country, from their house, from their family. I mean, imagine 12, 13 years old to be left without your parents, brothers and sisters, I mean, to be taken in a foreign country. It must have been terrible for them. Still, they have not lost the king of their hearts, the Lord who they have set out to serve. Secondly, choice, verses 8 to 16. You see, they had the choice. They have been given the food in the best food in the royal palace, the best wine, the best clothing, everything that was the best, so they can give the best. They've been put in Babylon's university at quite a young age, and there was high expectations from them. They were meant to be not eunuchs in the palace of the king, but to be people who can serve in administration and be useful to the king. And there was a time when those who have already lost their nation, their family, almost lost their identity, were facing another choice that they had to make. Would they choose now to defile themselves with the food that was given to them? Now, we have to make a difference here. As Christians, Jesus said, you can eat and drink everything that is available in the marketplace, he says. You have to be careful not to abuse anything. But for the Jews, anything that was sacrificed to the gods was something that they should not touch. And the food that was served at the king's table was food that was sacrificed, and meat that was sacrificed, animals that were sacrificed to Baal, their king, and the other gods that they were worshipping in Babylon. Indeed, they were worshipping many, many other gods. And doing that, even touching that food, was something that was not right for a Jew to do. So there's the choice. Would I serve the Lord and say, I'm sorry, I cannot touch or eat this food? Or I will just put my head under the sand and say, well, all right, the Lord is not here in Babylon. He's left in the temple in Jerusalem, so we can eat a bit of a meat and a bit of a pork, no problem. I was saying to Brian earlier on, I do like bacon, so I've got no problem with that. But for a Jew to do that, that was a sacrilege. That was something that it could not be understood. It's something that offended God himself. I'm sure Daniel and his three friends have set up the Lord as the king of their hearts. I'm sure they remembered, as each child in Israel was taught for the age when they could walk and speak, the law of Moses, and they could recite by heart the Talmud. They knew by heart the words from Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Remember the Lord your God. And this is what they did. In Babylon, in a foreign country, far from their house, their home, their family, far from everything that was comfortable to them, they remember that the Lord is their God and he is their king. The commandments that their parents taught them were impressed in their hearts. And I'm always very encouraged when, like last Sunday, we can celebrate and we can say thank you, Lord, for those who are working hard to do just that in here in our church. It is very important that we teach our children the commandments of the Lord. It seems that we live in a world that has no truth. There is no nothing that holds people together. And we come in a house of the Lord and we read the scripture and we see that reading Jesus' commands, that keeps us together. That keeps us insane. A world who has nothing because they lost everything when they lost the scripture. So thank you for all of you who serve the Lord by teaching the young ones the word of the Lord. It's very, very important. The seeds that we put in their hearts will last forever. We see in the lives of those young people, 13, 12, 13 years old, were able to choose. So if someone tells me that teenagers don't understand the scriptures, they have no clue what's going on, they're wrong, because I know they do. I was a teenager, I knew what was going on, and I was 15 years old when I said, Lord, I'm a mess, have mercy on me. And I encourage you to, every opportunity you have, put the commandments of the Lord in the hearts of those young people in your family, in the church, wherever you go. They have chosen rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Reality is our choices take us in interesting places. And our choices can bring us closer to God, and our choices can take us far away from Him. God remains the King wherever we do. He doesn't change. We remember those verses that said God He was the same yesterday, today, and He remains the same forever. He never changes. We change, but we go away from God when He wants us to come close to Him. Our choices either bring us in or takes us out. Daniel and his friends already had in them the character, not just the call from God, they had the character of God. They were His ambassadors in Babylon. And if you read the next chapters in Daniel, you will see that this is what they are doing. No matter what, no matter how many pits with lions they have in Babylon, no matter how many burning furnaces they have in Babylon, no matter how many idols are raising in the plains, they are staying connected with God. They draw near and near to the point that where they are in a furnace and there's burning that everyone dies around that furnace, Jesus Himself stands there with them, and Jesus Himself will stand with each one of us who are setting up to have Him as our Lord and Savior. Serving the Lord, their King, was the most important thing for them. They were serving Him in their hearts not only with their actions as well. I'm sure you remember the words of James in chapter 2 when he writes, faith by itself, if it doesn't have any works, is dead. And the reality is, we can affirm something with our mouth. If we don't do it, it doesn't have no power. Third one, challenge. From verses 17 to verse 21. Choices have a result. As I said earlier on, it can bring us close to God. It takes us away from God. But choices, in the same time, gives us God's grace. If we choose to follow Him, to come close to Him, God's grace is given to us. And we see when people, four people, choose to serve the Lord and set up the Lord as their King, to serve Him in their hearts with all they are, God gives them grace. And not only that, they are well seen by the person who takes care of them, and they are allowed to eat the vegetables so they don't defile themselves with the meat. But also, God gives them more than what the Babylonian university can give them. Sometimes we go to university. I went to university and I put so many hopes in that. I spent 5 years in university, hard work, chemistry, day in and day out, until I was dreaming formulas. And yes, this is what you do in university. And then when you come out, you say, that's it, I'm so great now, I'm an engineer. Well, you're not. Because just human knowledge does not make you anything. And what God does, after they learn everything they could learn in the Babylonian culture, the literature, God gives them something that tops everything up, more than they've learned in 3 years. God gave Daniel understanding beyond what the wise man of Babylon could do. They had many there who've been through everything. They are doctors, they are professors of whatever, astrology, and they could read the skies and everything and the moving of the moon and the sun. What they didn't have and they lacked is the spirit of the living God. One day, many, many years before, at the beginning of the people of God, God has promised they will never, if they listen to him and follow him, they will never be the tail, they will always be the head. And guess what? They've chosen to follow the Lord, and God has kept his promise. Every time we choose to follow the Lord, God keeps his promises. We just sang earlier on about God's promises. And this week at Koinonia, we had a song of praise, Koinonia Songs of Praise. And one of the hymns that we sang was about the promises of God. And when we finished the song, one of the ladies who usually doesn't say anything said, "And the Lord always keeps his promises, and he always remembers his promises." And he does. I said, amen, that is so true. God promises that you will never be the tail, you will always be the head, even if you are a slave in exile. They entered the kings of Babylon's service, but before they entered his service, they were serving the Lord, the real king. At a human level, yes, they were useful to the Babylonians, and they, through their wisdom and understanding of the things that they were doing there, they were better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. God has never let them down. The challenge is, am I going to stick to the Lord? Very easy for Daniel and his friends, now being very well renowned in Babylon and everyone knowing that they are very wise and the God of gods and God of Israel is with them, to pump up their pride and say, that's it, now we've done something through our own power. But they don't. They stick to the Lord and in obedience continue to serve him. Their wisdom is something that later on Apostle Paul will describe as this. But the wisdom that is from above is the first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willingly to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Actually, it's James chapter 3, not Paul, sorry. And there is one word there which I wanted to close with. In verse 21, we are told, and Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. If you read the history, you will see that kings have come in Babylon, kings have gone. Officials have come, officials have gone. And we're told Daniel remained there. Remained there because God had a purpose with him, because God has impressed on his heart the will of God. Daniel will be one of the prophets that will speak in the name of the Lord. I'm sure at the time of King Cyrus, Daniel knew very well the prophecy of Jeremiah, who said that his people will be in slavery in Babylon for 70 years. And in chapter 9, if you read, and I encourage you to read, it's a wonderful chapter. impressed by that word from the book of Jeremiah, from the prophet Jeremiah, who sends the letter from Jerusalem to Babylon, telling them, you are there for 70 years, build houses, get married, have children, seek the good of the city where God has put you, because you will be there for 70 years. And then Daniel seeks the face of the Lord to see what's going on. And then the Lord brings again redemption for his people, and his people can go back to Jerusalem. Daniel accepted the challenge to remain faithful to the Lord. Daniel accepted the challenge to believe the word spoken through the prophet Jeremiah and not let himself drawn on a side by false prophets. And Daniel accepted the challenge to believe God on his word. As Christians, I believe God is challenging us every single day. Would you stand with me, or would you step down? And I think it's a very hard thing to be always in a step with the Lord. It's always hard to follow him, because he goes on uncharted waters. He goes there where no one else has been before. And he calls us to things that might affect our own personal pride. What are we going to do? Are we going to stick with him? Or are we going to step down? I'm going to close by challenging you. If I'm allowed to speak, I always like to challenge people. I don't want anyone to go home from here without having a challenge. I remember someone was telling a story of Moody, who preached in Chicago. And one evening he said, and I'm going to challenge you tomorrow. I'm going to tell you a little bit more tomorrow about what God is doing. And next day, it wasn't a tomorrow, because thousands of people of Chicago died in a big fire. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I'm going to leave it for next Sunday. I'm going to challenge you tonight. Change is happening. It's either at a personal level, at the church level, at the village level, at the country level. Change is happening. We like it or not, we can't stop it. God is on the move, and he's doing his plan. Wherever he wants us to go, he will get us there. We have a choice. We either serve him and get there quick, or we step down and we go another 40 years in the wilderness and we suffer and we complain. God puts a challenge before us. Are we going to stay together? Are we going to draw near him? Are we going to remain where he called us to be? Let's bow our heads and spend 5 minutes of thinking about this and maybe praying about it to see, maybe the Lord wants to say something to you tonight.